Lord, we thank you that you're alive. Thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active. And Lord, we thank you that whether we're at home, whether we are here in house, Lord, your promise, I thank you for your name. Your name is Emmanuel, God with us. So Lord, come and feed us from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Those who are able, would you please stand for the reading of the word of the Lord? Chuck Novak is going to lead us in, I am so sorry. We need to have a prelude first, don't I? Sorry about that. Sit down, and we're going to have a, and go, Rich. Prepare our hearts for worship. bless you and we honor you, Lord. You are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, we thank you that the angels never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Lord, I thank you. I know some are sad, but Lord, I'm thankful for cooler weather. And Lord, we thank you for just that the seasons change. But Lord, you remain the same. Your name is faithful and true. And we bless you and we honor you, Lord. And we do. Lord, thank you for life and breath. And we just give you all glory. And Lord, we pray for Jerry Reggio. Lord, we pray that you would touch him, you would heal him. Lord, Kathy's uncle and Anita's uncle, Lord, we just pray blessings on him and healing upon Jerry. Father, we pray your sustaining and your healing to be upon Librand. Lord, we keep knocking on that door, and Lord, we ask you to heal him and sustain him. Father, we pray for Janet Kirk's friend, Mary Beth, and Lord, we pray for a good report for her in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Francis's daughter, Fran. Lord, we thank you for a good surgery, and Lord, I just pray healing for that leg, healing for that knee, Lord, that there would be no complications, that there would be no infection, and Lord, we just ask restoration for her in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Dawn and Shirley. God, we ask you to strengthen Dawn. We ask you to, we just pray strength, healing, restoration for him in the name of Jesus. We pray for Shirley, Lord, continued uneventful, Lord, recovery, Lord, no infection in that leg and that toe. And Lord, we ask your peace and your comfort and your sustaining grace to be upon Shirley. Lord, we thank you for Eleanor's granddaughter with some semblance of normal. Lord, being able to play and finish eighth grade softball. And we give you the glory and the honor and praise for that. Lord, I thank you that the Travelsteads, Lord, were able to see their 6-month-old grandson this week. And Lord, what a gift. We just pray blessings on that baby, and Lord, thank you for a good visit, and Lord, bless. And Lord, we come before you, and where we may feel, I know sometimes I do, Lord, prayed out when we think about our nation and what's going on and the unrest and the upcoming election and the fires and the continued unrest. And Lord, we cry out to you for mercy. We cry out to you for healing, Lord, of COVID and the disease and the plague, Lord, that is infecting the world. And Lord, we ask for your mercy and your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you do not change as shifting shadows, that you are holy and that you are good and that you are the soon incoming King. And Lord, we ask for mercy in the name of Jesus. We pray for our leaders because you've exhorted us to. Lord, we pray for our mayor, Lord, our governor, our president, Jesus, that you would give them wisdom in the name of Jesus, that they would be men who honor you and who fear you. Father, we pray your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy. Lord, we pray that you would send forth laborers into the harvest field. We pray, Father, for the persecuted church, that you would in China, in the Middle East, Lord, that you would give them courage, you give them boldness, Lord, that they would stand fearlessly for you. And Lord, I thank you again that you are seated on the throne. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I thank you for the faithful givers in this church. And Lord, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we give you all glory, all honor, all praise. Bless the giver, bless the offering, and Lord, we give it back to you as
try to drum up the praises. We join in the praises that are never ending. And so sometimes we use our lips. Sometimes we use our minds. Sometimes we just use our hearts. Sherry, my wife, is Sherry, and she's a worship director at Bethlehem Methodist Church in Scuta. And what they have been doing is she has been teaching them sign language. And so they've learned three different songs that they've signed together in order to be able to sing, even though they can't use their mouths. What we know is all of it goes to the glory of God. And so I just invite you, however you want, however you can, in whatever way, just enter into that, continue in that attitude of worship, of just giving God the praise that He deserves. So. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. action, and that is true, and they're sitting right here. They traveled from Muskuta this morning to come and see me to cheer me on, and so thank you guys. They said, so now you're on the hook, so you better make it good. And I said, well, you just never can tell. You know what I mean? It's always best to go for a base hit rather than a home run. You know what I mean? Because the word of the Lord lasts forever, and it goes out and accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish, and I may not know exactly what that accomplishment might be. So I'm just going to be faithful, and they were just joking with me. They know that. I've served in Bethel, at Bethel in Muskuta for about 5 years. Before that, I was at St. Matthew in Belleville as the associate pastor. Before that, I was up north in the Kankakee area for about 10 years and served a couple different churches up there. And I am married, as I indicated before. Sherry, my wife, is the worship director and family ministries director at Bethel. So she's there this morning. And then we have three beautiful children, a 16-year-old daughter, and then a 13-year-old daughter, and an 8-year-old son. And so we're blessed, tremendously blessed. I recently made a transition out of the United Methodist Church, so I served, but I am no longer a United Methodist pastor. Thus, I am open on Sundays to preach in a pinch, which is kind of great. I'm transitioning away from being in pastoral ministry, vocational ministry, and so it's just it's a weird time in my life as I make this transition. Apparently, I chose. Is that me? Oh, okay, I was going to say, let me take my watch off. It might be because it's. It might be picking up like the Wi-Fi. Just put that down. I was wrong. No, it's still doing. All right, that's good. Okay, so I'm making transition, from pastoral ministry and looking for jobs and things like that. And the Lord, and here's the thing: the Lord is faithful. Amen. The Lord is faithful, and He's always faithful. He's always been faithful, and what we do is we prove His faithfulness, right, by trusting in Him and by walking in His way, and He shows that He is faithful in the midst of that. And He is, as it were, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God is not more faithful or less faithful depending on our circumstances. God is faithful. And it's just a matter of us willing to trust that when we don't see what faithfulness might look like right now, that God still is faithful. So this morning, so that's just a little bit about me, so you have an understanding. If you hear of any churches around that need a pastor on a Sunday, just give me a holler. I'd be glad to do that. As of yet, quite free on Sundays. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15 this morning. Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. I'm going to read it off the screen because mine will probably be a little bit. Do you have it on the screen? Oh, no, right on. Oh, that's good because I've got a different translation than what I would have feared that you would have been in. All right, so I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, NLT. It says this, thereto the whole community of Israel spoke bitterly against Moses and Aaron. Oh, that we were back in Egypt, they moaned. It would have been better if the Lord had killed us there. At least there we had plenty to eat. But now you have brought us into this desert to starve us to death. And the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. The people can go out each day and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether they will follow my instructions. Tell them to pick up twice as much as usual on the sixth day of each week. Then Moses and Aaron called a meeting of all the people of Israel and told them in the evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glorious presence of the Lord. He has heard your complaints, which are against the Lord and not against us. The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread in the morning, for he has heard your complaints, all your complaints against him. Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, say this to the entire community of Israel. Come into the Lord's presence and hear his reply to your complaints. And as Aaron spoke to the people, they looked out toward the desert. Within the guiding cloud, they could see the awesome glory of the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the people's complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail arrived and covered the camp. The next morning, the desert all around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew disappeared later in the morning, thin flakes, white like frost, covered the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it has stood the test of time because Lord, it is of you. It is from you. And with it, we are able to discern how we ought to live and how we can know you more. And so, Lord, we pray that you would apply these words to our hearts, that we would hear them, and having heard them, Lord God, that they would dwell deep in us and we would live them out. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So let's situate ourselves in this for a moment, shall we? We have the Israelites who are in, who are now in the desert, okay? So they are between Elim, Elim, and Sinai. They're not quite to Sinai yet. We know what happens at Sinai. Sinai, Moses goes up the mountain. They get the words of the Lord. We also know that they fail tremendously as they make the golden calf, right? And they serve this, they worship this other god. So they're not there yet. They haven't failed in that way yet, okay? So they're still in the desert. Now, when we look at what happened right before, okay, so we're talking days, not months at this point, okay? Days, not months for how long the Israelites have been out of Egypt. Days, not months. Just days ago, perhaps weeks. Let's give them a full month, shall we? Let's give them 4 weeks. It might not even have been that long. But the Lord had just done something incredibly, totally unheard of in that he took the Israelites out of Egypt, and when the Israelites went, Egypt paid them to go. He said, ask the Egyptians around you for stuff. And the Egyptians were like, sure, go right ahead. Just get out, please go. And they leave, right? They leave. They're walking along. They get to the Red Sea, right? There's a sea in their way. And God makes a way in an incredible way. He parts the Red Sea, and as our scripture reading said, they walked across the seabed as if it were a desert. God was doing incredible, wonderful, awesome things. And they knew it, right? The cloud that had gathered around that they saw in this scripture passage I read, the cloud had gone on behind Israel and separated Egypt from Israel. God had been their vanguard. He was protecting them from all sides, leading them forward and protecting them from behind as they go across. As soon as they go across, the waters recede and God defeats one of the most powerful armies on the face of the planet. All four 1,000 people. Can you imagine the logistics of moving that many people, plus animals, plus housewares, all the stuff that they have, right, across the Red Sea? And they all get across. 3 days later, they come to a place, and it's called Mara. They come to this place where there's bitter water, and they just start complaining. Grumbling is a better word for it. That word grumble, it's a weird word in Hebrew. Actually, it comes from like the root of like lodging for the night, but it's like it's staying in a place but being really upset about it. Right? It's being almost situated and not wanting to be situated, and you just are, everything about you is just not wanting what's currently happening right now. The Israelites are there 3 days after God had done all of this stuff, right? And they're thinking, great, now we don't have any water. Now we're going to die. Thanks a lot, Lord. 3 days. You couldn't lead us 3 days, and now we're out of water, right? So God gives them water. God gives them water. And then there are these 12 oases and 70 palm trees that the Bible describes. And it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful place. God takes care of them again. And then they move on, and this is where we find them. God had done powerful, awesome, mighty things. Here's the deal. The stuff that God did there with the Egyptians and the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea, as God did those things, can we just recognize that perhaps that is extraordinary, even for God? That's extraordinary, right? That's not the ordinary, everyday stuff that God does in life of casting plagues, opening Red Seas, doing all that kind of stuff, right? That's kind of extraordinary for God. And yet what happened is the Israelites felt like that should become the normal. As if any tiny obstacle that they come up against, the moment they come up against it, God should move now. God should make this disappear. Work for us. Make this happen. They couldn't sit with the uncomfortable, the frustration, the uncertainty. So we have, as they go to this place where they are camped between Elim and Sinai, what an incredible thing that the Israelites say. If only, God, if only you had just let us die in Egypt. Because at least we had stuff to eat there. If only you had just left us alone. Now, if you read Exodus, the first part, you can understand or appreciate God's perhaps frustration at that kind of a comment, because they cried out so much that God remembered them, is what it says. God heard them, right? Because they were crying out, because they were being oppressed. They were being downtrodden. They were slaves in a land that was not their own, and they cried out, and God answered their prayers, and now they're mad because God answered prayer. If only, God, if only you had just left us alone, left us in Egypt. And there, and notice the words that are said, if only you, the Lord, had killed us in Egypt. They're putting that on the Lord, as if the Lord has brought them out to the wilderness to die, as if he can't take care of them now that he's got them in this place. If only, Lord. I don't know how many of you, I'm super smart, you know what I mean? Like, I know everything. And I let God know all the time just how smart I am. And how if he would just work things out the way that I have already got them worked out, then things would be great, right? It's like, Lord, catch up with my plan here. You know what I mean? You all are holier than me, so you don't have any idea what I'm talking about when you're going through that, right? And so if I play this game of if only all the time. Because here's the thing. I am currently unemployed. I have been since June, since July is when that started. And we bought a house, so there are all these things that are moving and swirling around me, and I'm just like, Lord, I don't understand how any of this is going to work out or happen or make it, right? And so I've had all these plans. Lord, if only you would have done this at this time, then this wouldn't be here. If only you had done this at this time, this wouldn't be here. Or I would be in this place if only, if only, if only. The thing about if only is this. When we're talking to God and when the Israelites are talking to God, if only you had left us here when we had what we want now. Is that they didn't know then what this would look like now. They had no idea. But God knew and had already prepared a way. And here they are in the midst of the wilderness, seemingly without food. Their hearts, their minds, their nerves, their fear, everything says, you don't have any food. You're going to die. God brought you out to the wilderness to die. And by the way, he brought you out with this Moses guy who had to flee the country because he murdered somebody, right? And his good-for-nothing brother Aaron, right? Who just does everything that he tells him to do. It seems as though they're going to die. Here's the funny thing about God. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He takes care of the sparrows. He dresses the flowers in the field in splendor that not even Solomon could claim. God cares for the intricate details of this world in a way that we cannot even begin to fathom. In fact, Scripture tells us that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts, higher than our thoughts. And that God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. Not only that, but God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. These are all wonderful scriptures that we hold on to. But did you know that one of the most, if you read through Exodus, there is a phrase that happens again and again and again and again and again throughout all of Exodus. And not just Exodus, it happens throughout the rest of Scripture, but Exodus is concentrated in this as God is doing a new thing with his people. Notice in verse Israelites were deserving of any such decision. It's because Moses said, so that they may know who you are, so that they know that your hand is long and can save. Scripture is concerned, God is concerned first and foremost with you knowing who he is. God is concerned with you knowing that he is able to save, that he is God. Because as we come to know God, that's why God wasn't done with the Old Testament. That's why the fullness of Scripture is culminated in a person, Jesus Christ. It's because letters weren't good enough. It wasn't that the Spirit coming down just wasn't good enough. God needed to dwell with us that we would know who he is. And in Jesus, we know him perfectly. And here's where all this comes together. If you know who Jesus is, if you know who God is, if you understand what he is about, then all of these promises become true, and you can sit in the uneasy. You can sit in the frustration. You can sit in the difficult because you know that God is who he says he is. And so as the Israelites complain, if only God, what they're doing is denying that God is able to do what he said he could do, that God is who he says he is. That God, you're good, but you're not that good. You're awesome, but you're not that awesome. And so as the Israelites stay there, God, have you ever just, here's the wonderful thing about God. Even when you aren't done complaining, God is still God, right? Because even when we're unfaithful, he is faithful because he cannot be unfaithful. And here they are in the wilderness. And as they say, Lord, we don't know what to do. You brought us out here to die. Why can't you just give us what we had? God says, new thing. What you have is not good enough for what I'm about to do. What a wonderful thing. As God says, fine, you want meat? I will give you meat. Quail drops and fills the floor of the where the Israelites are, right? And they have meat in the evening. That may not have been what they were hoping for. But they had some bird sandwiches. You know what I mean? In the morning, there was dew. And the dew was on the ground. And as the dew dried, there was this flaky substance that was left behind. And God told Moses to tell the Israelites, go around and collect this stuff. Once again, God does things in a way that just often doesn't make sense. We don't see what's happening. But the thing is, as the people of God, we don't have to see what God is up to trust that God can lead us in the direction we need to go. We don't have to have all the pieces in place. We just need to know the one who has brought us to this place. Go out and collect these flakes on the ground. Okay, right? So we're telling kids not to eat stuff off the ground. But now we're going to go collect stuff from the ground and put it into a thing and smush it together, and we're going to make bread out of it, okay? That's what we're going to do. The Israelites were like, what is it? Did you know that the word manna, you know what that means? It means, what is it? This awesome word that we have where we're like, manna from heaven, you know what I mean? We're like, we think of holy, wonderful things when we think of manna. The word literally means, what is it? I don't know. Nobody knows. until they crossed, the day they crossed the Jordan River to come into the promised land is the day the manna stopped coming. 40 years God supplied this. It's not about what God can do. It's about who he is. And either we trust him for who he is or we don't trust him. Either we set our life on him or we don't set our life. We don't set the compass of our life by the blessings and how fast they're flowing. We set them by the one who is the giver of all good things, knowing that if it's not good right now, it's okay. Because God's not done yet. So don't trip yourself up on if only. If only coronavirus hadn't happened, I'd have a job. Now, I do have a part-time job, hopefully it's coming, so it can help me get that. And it's going to help pay some bills. I wanna say that. But if only this hadn't happened. If only this hadn't happened. If only this hadn't. Absolutely.